bitterness is a frozen form of latent anger and resentment. Bitterness grows out of our refusal to let go when someone or something is taken from us. Bitterness is being constantly hurt by a memory and is holding on to a hurt until it holds on to you. And again, that's why I said you have to break that hold that it has on you too. You know, we've just always kind of just released the person, but you've come into a place too where it's had a hold on you. And you can literally release yourself. You have authority to do that. You have authority to break in the spirit realm, because we're dealing in the spirit realm because we are dealing with spiritual forces. Therefore, you have the privilege and right to also step into that spiritual realm and literally break those holds off of you. Verbally say it. I break this hold that so-and-so has had on my life. Not just release them, but I break the hold because I'm coming out of that place. You know, there's a lot of people that have had some bad marriages or, you know, betrayal in their marriage, and they finally come to the place they can forgive, but they still stay in that place of woundedness and hurt and self-pity and feelings of betrayal. No. You need to come out of there. Because 10 years from now, you don't, and even with parents, you know, if you had parents that wounded you, choose to release yourself out of those areas also, because God has a much bigger plan for you. You see, so we might forgive them, but we're still held in this place because we aren't stepping out of the woundedness ourselves. See, so release yourself, right? It's just important that you do it. And when we pray through this, we'll walk you through a prayer like that. But I want you to be thinking on these things, and because it's as simple as saying, all right, in the name of Jesus, I release myself from and say whoever for what they did to me, blah, 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 you know? But I'm going to release myself. I'm coming out of the captivity that I came into through that. And memories, I'm going to talk a little bit about magnification today. Memories, there are spirits, literally called spirits of memory recall, that will keep reminding you. They play back like a record over and over and over and over, bringing back to you the wrong. You need to take authority over that. You need to silence that voice and cast it out. One thing I learned from my parents was this, is that, you know, I held a lot of bitter resentment, especially towards my dad, okay? And so he not only was not a very nice person, but he had all those spirits of bitterness and resentment that he passed on to all of us. So you just naturally flow in those spiritual, generational things. But when I became a believer, I always tell this, but the first thing the Lord did was delivered me from 2.5 packs of cigarettes. And he did that the night I got saved. Then the next thing we had to work on was my dad. The cigarettes went like that. My dad was a little bit different. I hated him. And so I had to get issues resolved within me, okay? But then as I continued and I began to learn what the gospel says, and you know, I always choose. I won't walk and hold unforgiveness and bitterness. I can't afford it, especially with what I do, but none of us can afford it. But irregardless, your parents may have made mistakes, but are you perfect? You see? And so they may not have had the teaching and the opportunities you had. See, so you can't hold them because they were the way they were because of the generation before them. And see, it just keeps going until finally someone says, no, this is done. The buck stops here. Okay? So that may be you. So let go of things in your past. You know, even if you're holding things against your parents, you know, most parents do the best they can. They really do. It's just most parents don't know how to do it. Many of your parents are maybe in bondage. I've said before that anger and bitterness raised me. And that's because those were the two spiritual forces. My dad was an angry man and he was a bitter man. So that's what raised me. Okay? So all you got to do is think about what brought you up. You know, so if there were things in their lives that hurt you, they probably were wounded also. So again, it becomes your responsibility. You have to own it to get it out. All right? That is so important. Don't blame other people. You deal with it. Okay, so you can get it out, so you can get free. Bitterness is the unhealthiest emotion that you can have. When you are offended or disappointed by others and allow the hurt to germinate, in other words, grow in your heart, bitterness and resentment will take root. Bitterness is characterized by an unforgiving spirit and generally negative, critical attitudes. Anytime, you know, you listen to somebody who's constantly sarcastic and critical, there's a bitter root there. There's a bitter root. So if you find yourself being that way, it's like, I need to quit this. Leave in the name of Jesus. You know, you might need to repent. Watch yourself. Because if you do, you'll begin to recognize areas that you're giving into those different forces like that. Bitterness and resentment are both sinful, and they are self-defeating. And I don't want to be defeated. Perhaps it grows from the literal loss of a loved one or a job or an income or a relationship. Sometimes it might be more subtle and grow from the loss of reputation, social position, control. Whatever the cause, bitterness grows out of unreleased loss. Write that down. Unreleased loss. So if there's things in your life that you lost because of something somebody did to you, like maybe you didn't have a nurturing mother or father. Maybe you didn't have the right kind of covering. Maybe you didn't have someone, you know, putting into you and training you, you know. We were not trained when we grew up. We just grew up. You know, nobody put nothing into us. And so then when you get older and you have your own family, it's like you don't know what to do with them. And you're deficit. Okay, that is why you're so blessed to be in this church, because this church is not a deficit church. This church has got good food in it. Amen? Amen. That you can come and be nourished. So where there has been deficits, you can start learning. But when you don't release the losses, now maybe you've lost your virginity from someone who violated you as a child, or maybe you've lost a husband or a wife because of betrayal. Or maybe you lost a parent even because of a sickness or a disease. Or, you know, when my mom died, I loved my mom. She was a good mom. In the fact that, you know, she didn't know how to be a mom like a mom really should be, but she loved us. And I always knew that she loved me. So I just loved her back. So when she died, I was just plain angry at her. I was. Because she didn't have to die. She just decided to die. So she was a loss. You know, she's kind of the one that held us all together. So I forgave her for that. You might need to forgive somebody. I'm saying that for a reason, because sometimes people get held in grief, and you grieve over a lost one. You know, let them go. Let yourself go. Release yourself from that. Unreleased losses. Make sure you release those. And if you don't even know, maybe you're just dealing with stuff, ask the Holy Spirit. He will show you what you need to release. Whenever we lose something or someone significant, we often feel the following thoughts or emotions over a period of time as we grieve over the loss. The bitterness pervades everything. What happens to a person if he keeps bitterness on the inside for many years? What happens to him physically? Can he get physically sick? Suppose it's bitterness towards a member of the family. He kept it inside, nurturing it. He has not shared it. He has defiled many people. He has kept it down. When he keeps it inside for years, he finally begins to hurt. Bitterness and resentment make us foolish. Bitterness provokes people to do stupid things, to say stupid things. Bitterness hurts us. Bitterness is an emotional suicide. Bitterness is drinking poison while hoping the other person will die. Bitterness is you drinking poison while you're wanting justice done to the other person. Revenge. Amen? It prolongs your hurt and it makes us miserable. Bitterness makes everyday life miserable. Normally, bitter people have an amazing memory for the tiniest detail. They wallow in self-pity and resentment. They record every offense in there and are always ready to show others how much they've been hurt. Bitter people defend their grudges constantly. They feel that they have been hurt too deeply and too often, and that this exempts them from the need to forgive. You are never exempted from the need to forgive. And the reason I brought up parents is because I really believe there's people here who hold grievances towards parents. I believe there's people here who are holding grievances towards marriage partners who've walked out on them. There's people that are holding these things, even grieving in an area of lost loved ones that have died. You need to, for your own sake, release it. Because see, this isn't about them. This teaching is about you. Okay? It's about you getting released. All right? It's about you moving forward and being what God called you to be. You know, when you stand before the Lord, you can't say, well, yeah, God, I would have done that, but you know how my mom was. You know how she raised me. So, you know, that's not going to work. Okay? We have to deal with us. And the biggest way, it's so easy. Just let it go. Let it go. Push it away from you. Well, like I say, if the devil comes and knocks on your door again, what do? Just say, no. No. I'm not taking this back. I've let it go. The devil brings back, or, you know, maybe you have an ex-spouse who is harassing you, you know? Just don't answer the phone if you don't have to, but, you know, that works. But every time the devil brings back, just say, no, I have released them, and I'm not going to pick this one back up. You know, you need to make those decisions to not pick things back up once you put them down, all right? Stay in that place where you've released it and then continue to walk in that. Too easily we become bitter. The thing with bitterness or resentment is that it takes control, it consumes, and it robs us. Bitterness is more than a negative outlook on life. It's destructive and has self-destructive power. It can be physically as well as emotionally debilitating. Persistent bitterness and resentment makes a person angry, confused, leads you to deeper and deeper into a jungle of despair. Bitterness and resentment is frozen anger in latent form. Bitterness is a malignancy. It's a cancer. In fact, if you study roots of disease, I gave you a book last week on that. Henry Wright's book, A More Excellent Way. He covers the roots of disease, and cancer comes out of bitterness. It's a root. Okay, when you can say, well, I'm not bitter. Well, maybe it's somewhere in your bloodline. You know, if you can go to a doctor and he can ask you, well, tell me, did your mother have this? Did your father have this? You know, he doesn't go and say, well, did your mother or father have a root of bitterness? Were they anger? Did they have addictive personalities? But see, those things affect our emotions, which affect our physical bodies, which affect the immune system, which affect our ability to resist things, and it makes us vulnerable. You see? So this is another reason why you want to get rid of it. But let me tell you this too. Your vulnerabilities, you pass those to your children. And you do it in two ways. You do it in the way of the spiritual forces that go through the generations. But you also do it through learned behavior. It's what you're acting out. It's what you're setting before them. That's like, so whatever you do in your home, you know, you're setting patterns up for your children. And they'll carry that from generation to generation. And the worst thing is when we do it in a Christian home, because we're doing it under the guise of Christianity. So we're really saying to our children, this is okay to do this as a Christian. Stop and think about that. What you do, bringing your kids to church and then living like hell outside of church, you have just told your children this is an okay way for a Christian to live and to walk. If I hold resentment and bitterness, I've told my child that's okay. If I'm an angry person and I'm exploding in my home all the time, yelling and screaming, I have told my children this is an okay behavior for a believer. You see, sometimes, and we wonder why sometimes our children have a harder time, it's because our children have been conditioned in church. Sometimes it's easier to get somebody on the outside saved because they ain't had all this hypocrisy. You see? So we need to endeavor to, and you know what? If you miss it, just say to your kid, you know what? Mommy, Daddy missed it. We shouldn't have done this. Please forgive me. And you know what? Your child will see a huge example set before them. That we see mom and dad trying. We see mom and dad maybe making mistakes, but getting back up and moving forward in Christ. You see? So remember that what you do is always going to affect your family. And how many of you messed up? I mean, it's like, oh, goodness. Everybody in this place has their hand up. You know, so thank you, Jesus, for the blood. You know, thank you that my past sins are forgiven, my present sins are forgiven, and the future. It's all under the blood, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's all under grace. Praise God. Okay. Bitterness is a trap that the devil puts out and is easy to fall into. It will always hurt ourselves more than it will hurt the other person. Sometimes people don't even know you're angry towards them and bitter. And they just go on in life and we're just poisoned on the inside. Bitterness and resentment is an oppressive and destructive emotion having its root in hate, which is likened to suicide or murder. When you offend or are disappointed by others, are offended by others, you allow the hurt to germinate in your heart. Bitterness and resentment take root, characterized by an unforgiving, unloving spirit. And generally, negative, critical attitudes, sarcasm, bitterness, and resentment are sinful and self-defeating. I think I just read all that to you. Many life events and their consequences are caused by bitterness, and that bitter disputes fuel even more reservoirs of bitterness that last through generations, continue to hold people in vice-like grips. Physical consequences of bitterness are such things as headaches, ulcers, sleeplessness, heart attacks, anxiety, fear, tension, cancer, depression. Are you depressed? Maybe you need to let go of some things. This, of course, doesn't mean that anyone with a headache or heart attack is bitter, okay? So we'll throw it out. If you have a headache today, I'm not saying you're bitter. You know, people sometimes, you can go, Bev Tucker said, I was bitter. No, I didn't. But it could be your problem, you see. So maybe you should say, all right, Lord, show me. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. And we're to look in it and behold ourselves. And you know, how many of you beheld yourself and thought, yuck, I need to deal with this. And I don't even want to deal with it, but I got to deal with it. Because we do. If Jesus is your Lord, all right, if Jesus is Lord, that means master, owner. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, let me just inform you, you just didn't get a Savior. Like, oh, I get to go to heaven. You received an owner, a master, a Lord. You do not belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased with the blood of Christ. That means that what he says, he's in charge, not me. That means if he says I need to release people, that I need to forgive, I don't have an option. And I might need to work it through, but Father, I will work it through with your help. Amen? So we have to deal with these things that come into our lives, right? Okay, we are responsible for what we do. We think and we feel. Nobody can make us bitter. We choose to respond to situations in a bitter way. Naturally, we can get rid of bitterness, resentment, rage, and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. And it does bring slander, but it also brings cursing. If you have a cursing problem, swearing problem, maybe you have that also. Normally, people do. What makes us bitter is our attitude towards people and circumstances. It's not the people or the circumstance. Some people are bitter because they refuse to let go by forgiving even themselves. They often trap themselves in bitter bargaining. That's interesting. Nothing so tears up the well-being. And these are a couple different things that I've gotten off online. Nothing is so tears up the well-being of a person like bitterness. Bitterness is internalizing hurt, mixing it with unforgiveness, and then holding on to it for a long time with no desire to forgive. If you do not have desire to forgive, what you are doing is walking in a place of wanting to retaliate. Larry said at the beginning to me, he said, people who don't forgive, they want justice, but they don't want justice for others, but they want it for themselves. You see, and we don't need to wish evil on other people. You know, we need to, Jesus said, if you have an enemy, do what? Bless them, didn't he? And actually, if you will bless someone sometime that is an enemy to you, even in prayer, that will help you overcome your animosity towards him. It really does. It really does. It'll help you overcome that. Much scientific research has been done on the physical effects of negative emotions like bitterness. Negative emotions such as bitterness release chemical agents from the brain into the body that lead to poor digestion and absorption of nutrients and irregular heartbeat, high blood pressure, as well as inflammation throughout the body, which is your arthritis stuff. These chemicals are released by negative emotions, which again, they would also cause depression. You know, when there are chemicals released in our brain sometime, and so we decide medically that depression is only a chemical imbalance, it's probably because there's some other roots there that we need to deal with. See, so we go to the doctor and he gives us a Prozac or a Zoloft. You know, we just add another chemical to try to neutralize the chemicals that bitterness and unforgiveness and whatever is bringing into our lives, but we don't deal with the root. And see, the root is easy to deal with. You repent of it, and then you choose to let it go. And you might have to even tell it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but you do it, you know? I mean, I've been there before, so I know. It don't always go easy. But he says, if you will resist the devil, sometimes it's going to take some work on your part, and especially if there's someone in your life that just won't get out of your life. You know what I'm saying? So you still have to keep on working and getting that out. All right? So anyway, that was a free one. Okay, it's interesting to note that the Bible describes bitterness as making its home in the heart. Psalm 73, verse 21 says, I realized that my heart was bitter. And my heart was filled with bitter sorrow. The heart is one of the central organs it negatively affects. The Bible is not just talking about some arbitrary idea of the heart as our emotional center, but it is also talking about the physical organ, the blood-pumping engine within us, as we clearly see. The psalmist reminds us to deal with our bitterness as well as comforts us by letting us know that even when we feel those negative emotions, the Lord is right there beside us. And I'm going to read these to you. He's waiting for you to run to him, but he's waiting for you to run to him so that you can get help, so that you can get that released. You know, there's no better way to release anything than to go to Jesus and ask the Lord, Lord, show me what to do in this situation. Because I want to obey, I want to release this person, you know, and God will show you how to begin to walk out of this. But it says, I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. The reason a person is torn up inside with bitterness is because of remember you said in Matthew that you're released to the tormentors? Those are spiritual tormentors. They're demonic voices that torment you. A lot of times people listen to things and we just think it's our thoughts. I mean, my goodness, stop and think. Do you talk negative to yourself all the time? You know, I wouldn't credit it all to me. I'd say some of it's probably from an outside. You see what I'm saying? The enemy trying to convince you, you know, just like I was telling this person the other day too, there was a pastor and he went up on the, some big tall building in New York City. And anyway, he was up there and he was looking over the edge and he said, all of a sudden he heard a voice say, why don't you just jump off and kill yourself? And he said, no. I'm not going to jump off and kill myself. You jump off and kill yourself. You know, and that was how he responded to that demon that told him to jump off. Sometimes we need to recognize that all this negativity that we're hearing over and over and over on the insides of our heads is not us. It's a spiritual force hammering at you that you can rebuke. You don't have to listen to it. What about worry? Do you identify with worry and say, well, I'm just a worrying person? Or do you realize there's possible some torment of fear? Worry comes out of the root of fear. Anxiety, panic, all that comes out of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So therefore, if God has not given me a spirit of fear, he's also not given me a spirit of worry, anxiety, panic, voices that torment. You see? So learn to discern what you're hearing. You have authority. You know, there is no better person to take authority over what's going on in your life and rebuking it than you. OK? Okay? You are the one that's given it place. And we, you can come up and we can pray with you, and we are always happy to do that. But bottom line is, when you walk out of here, what are you going to do with that? You need to take authority over it. Amen? Okay, back to my thing. He said, I was all torn up inside. I was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. Even in the midst of this, this is what he does. You guide me, Lord, with your counsel. Lead me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you, O God, more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. And that's Psalm 73, 21 through 25. Isn't that good stuff? God is with us at all times to help us. All right, holding to an offense. An offense is a violation or it's an infraction done to someone to bring harm or a crime done. The Bible says, woe to them who cause an offense. Okay, so you can't just go off and do wrong or somebody do wrong to you and think, oh, well, get over it. Because it says woe to them too, you see. But again, like I said, I want you to come over into this place where you're here to get you free. You're here to get shackles broke off you. You're here to get infirmity out. You're here to cut off the line that's coming up through your generations, either behind you or what's going forward. Because, you know, until somebody does it, it won't be stopped. And it does take some time. Let me tell you that. It takes time for us. Why? Because, you know, if we were a little bit smarter, we could probably do all this at one time. But normally we're not, you know. Because when you're, as you grow up, and there are spiritual forces in your life, these things condition us. They're like behaviors. So you have to discern what's a behavior that's come in from spiritual forces or not, you see. So sometimes we think, well, this is just the way I am, you know. Sometimes we take pride in being bitter or full of pride or full of anger or whatever. Like, you don't want to deal with me because I'm tough. You know, well, really, should you don't want to be tough in a negative way, all right? Actually, demons should not want to deal with you. You know, that's who you should be scaring off. But woe to them who cause an offense. So, you know, if somebody has offended and they walk away and act like they've done nothing, well, they don't walk free even though they, you know, they're going to deal with it someday. What goes around does come around. But that's not your business and it's not your problem. What your issue is making sure you've done what God told you to do. And that's release that person into the freedom of your forgiveness. And then release yourself, because God has a plan for you and he has a destiny for you that you will hinder if you're going to stay in that mud, in that muck. So you need to come out. Our response to an offense determines our future. Many people are unable to function properly in life because of wounds and hurts that offenses have caused in their lives. They are handicapped and hindered from fulfilling their full potential. We may feel betrayed, because usually the one who hurts us is someone close to us, and that almost always is. You can't be hurt by somebody you don't love, do you? Really? You can't. You know, if Christians can hurt each other. You know, this is, even if I didn't know all of you in here, you could probably, you know, hurt me. I'd forgive you, though, okay? But people on the street, you know, who cares? You know? We need to move past worrying about whatever other people think. When you become a believer, it's something you might want to take into thought, because we are told by God to forgive. We are told by God to open our hearts and love, because we have to love each other. Because of that, if you don't properly guard your heart, you can be wounded and take in offense. Okay? So, because you're so much more tender and vulnerable, really. Okay. Now, how many of you have been done in by other believers or pastors or lead? Oh, my goodness. You know, we could raise our hands probably more than one time. But you know what? You guard your heart. And when people hurt you, you need to understand that they're operating in an area they probably need to get some major deliverance in. Right? I mean, seriously, a lot of times people, are just plain crass because they need to get that demon cast out of them. Jesus said it would be impossible to live in this world and not be offended or hurt. When we are hurt and we don't release it, we become vulnerable to the root of bitterness. When we are hurt, we harden our hearts in pride. Pride keeps us from repentance and keeps us from forgiveness. As a Christian, we have to be so careful to not harden our hearts. If you harden your heart to keep people out so they don't hurt you, you're also going to keep God out. So that is why you always have to keep a tender heart. You always have to deal with things that come against you, okay, especially in the church, because they will come. The enemy loves to throw fiery darts, doesn't he? Okay, just get your shield of faith up there and knock them down. Don't receive them, okay? You don't have to receive unkind words. You don't have to receive it. Just push it away from you. Pride causes you to view yourself as a victim. That's a hard one. If you think you're a victim, there's a spirit of, perverted pride that causes a person to always look inward. And that inward spirit is always a focus on poor me. You know, this didn't go right for me, or they hurt me, you see? Or all of this, it's all focused in on self, okay? So it's like a pride, but it's more deceptive than like people who strut around and act like they are God's gift to the world. Now, you might not be acting like you're God's gift to the world, but you're taking offense for you. Me, 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 me. That's a form of pride. Listen to yourself. Watch how you are responding, what you're meditating on, what you're thinking about. And if you're thinking about poor me all the time, you are walking in self-pity. Self-pity leads you to depression. You need to get it off. Do you know you literally can remove stuff like you would remove a coat? You literally can. You just say, I'm not going to take this, and you get it off. Get it off. Okay. Unforgiveness imprisons us. We harden our hearts towards God, our families, and then we begin to destroy ourselves. We become cold and unfeeling. You can see that in, you know, you take a brand new Christian, and my goodness, they don't shut their mouths, do they? I mean, they are so excited. I love it. New Christians are so fun, and no matter what, they don't see nothing bad. They just are excited about Jesus, you know. But then you take people who have been a Christian for a while, and then all of a sudden they've lost their joy. They've lost their expectation of good things. It's because of this. See, when you've got to keep your heart fresh in Jesus. That's your choice to do that. You know, when Lou and I got saved, we got saved in this church God. And there were people in that. I mean, and we were, oh my goodness. We were so excited about Jesus, we put it in the newspapers in that town. I mean, we did not shut up. And then we'd go to church and we'd see these people and they were like, ugh. And you'd wonder, Lord, what happened to these people? I thought they were Christians. You see, you've got to keep Jesus alive on the inside of you. You see, but when you let all this junk in, you begin to deaden yourself to the reality of who he is. And I think, Pastor, well, happy, be happy, you know. Be where only Jesus is going to really give you true happiness. But again, bitterness won't. Unforgiveness won't. That's why when you become a believer, God says, clean it out. Get it out. Okay? We've got to get it out. And so then as you, and when you become a new Christian, you're ready to do anything he asked. You ask it, Jesus, I'll do it. But then after a while, as you become more conditioned and you begin to kind of sear, you know, you will sear your conscience when the Lord says, no. And you'll go, but why, God? And you begin to reason with God, question God, and then disobey God. You start searing your conscience, you see. And so you wonder why you don't hear God like you used to, or you wonder why you're not excited the way you used to be. Just repent. Just repent and get back in there. That's all you got to do. A couple spirits that work with bitterness or unforgiveness. Actually, it's unforgiveness, but the root of it is bitterness. would be a spirit of magnification, and that makes something seem greater than what it really is. It's kind of like lying in bed at night, waking up and worrying about maybe your kids or somebody, and you imagine the worst of the worst of the worst happening. That's magnification. And it's a spirit that comes to torment you that you have authority over. You see, but you sit there or you lay there or whatever, and you think, oh, Lord, I'm just not in faith. I'm, you know, and you're just da-da-da-da-da. Take authority over it. Recognize spiritual forces that are coming against you to, like, steal your joy. The other one, the other spirit that operates in this is imagery. And imagery is the production of mental images or sounds through erroneous perceptions arising from misrepresentation, and it's closely related to hallucinations, which is mental wandering. Do you ever have a conversation with yourself over your anger with somebody else? And you know, it's so funny. We walk away and we didn't say nothing because we didn't know what to say because you get taken off guard. But then you go away and you start telling them off in your bathroom, looking in your mirror. Or in, you see what I'm talking about? Mental wandering. Well, you're just going to really let that person have it. Imaginations, imagery. Yeah. And then you say some pretty good things that you wished you'd have said to them. You know, and then you got to repent because it's stupid, but it's also on reality. It's all of it. Okay, the foundations of curses sent by witchcraft against the born-again believer is imagery. Imagery is only real if we receive it to be so. And then there are rehearsing spirits, things that almost like replay. You hear their voice over and over and over. You see the thing happen over and over and over. You may image in your mind the fight that you may have had with someone and the explosive words and all that. But it's all things that the enemy brings back and brings back to remind you that you have a right to be bitter. You have a right to do this because look what they did to you. And it causes you to spin in what God has for you rather than move forward. Bitterness has underlying spirits. They come into our lives in different ways. And this is how bitterness can come into our lives, but are the root of bitterness. But let me give you the underlying spirits of the root of bitterness. The first one would be unforgiveness. Then resentment comes in. Then retaliation, then anger and wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. And you might think, well, I would never murder somebody, but do you murder them with your tongue? Okay. Okay, so bitterness and its underlying spirits can come into us in different ways. They can be inherited as a familiar spirit passed down from generation to generation. In all the years that we've done deliverance, I have never found spirits that are stronger than your generational spirits. They've been in the family for a good long time. They know how to act. They know how to operate. They know your genetics. They know your DNA. They know your belief systems. They've probably raised you, you see? And these things can become strongholds in lives. And that's why we need to begin to uproot some of these things. Look at your parents. Probably what you hated most about your parents is what you do. And maybe the way that you're treating your parents today are the way your parents treated their parents, and they're reaping that. But if you don't want to reap it from your children, get it taken care of now. Okay, roots of bitterness can be acquired due to expectations of others not being fulfilled. They can be acquired due to circumstances in our life, choosing to respond with bitterness rather than the grace of God. They can be modeled to us, and we become programmed to allow these spirits to work out their evil nature through us. And when I'm talking about modeled again, that can be, like I said earlier, where you do that with your children. But you know, bad companions corrupt good character. So who do you hang around with? You see, don't hang around disgruntled Christians. Hang around happy people. Hang around people who want to forgive and who want to move forward in their lives. You see, those are the kind of people because there can be transference of things and mindsets, again, that come in because that's who you're choosing to participate with. You've come into agreement with it. The Bible says that if two or more agree together as touching anything, it will be established. You see, there are some things in your life you don't want established, so you may need to separate. I had a friend one time that I used to go out and witness with all the time when I was kind of a new Christian. And then we'd go around, we'd go from neighborhood to neighborhood, and then we'd get back in the car. And then I'd hear everything about everybody in the church. And it was like every time I went with her, I felt like so defiled because she'd give me all the smut on everybody in the church. And finally, I just had to quit going out witnessing with her because I didn't want my ears opened up to that because it began to cause how I felt about certain people. Do you know bitter roots can infect a whole congregation? That's why a lot of times you deal with church splits. When people leave because they're disgruntled and bitter and unforgiving, and then they go to you, and of course, and then you've got to realize that you've had spirits of magnification operating with them. They viewed it and imaged it in a different way. So you receive that, and you become disgruntled with them. And it wasn't even your issue. Okay, we can have a personality of bitterness as a result of not being able to separate ourselves from bitterness. You could maybe have flashbacks of things done to you in the past. If you are having flashbacks of things done in the past, that goes back to that imagery. When you have a mental image come up, cast it out. It really works. Tell it to go. You know how we found out about mental images like that being spiritual forces? We were ministering to someone one time, and this is off the subject, but it's kind of on the subject, but you can do this if you deal with this. We had a young man one time that was coming to us because he was dealing with pornography, and he'd been dealing with it from the time he was 10 years old, and this guy was serious about getting rid of it. His wife knew about it. He confessed everything to her. He was accountable, and a lot of times, this is why you need to guard your children, too. You just don't let them go into any neighborhood. House, because you don't know what's in that house, Christian or not, you know. And a child that's exposed to that at a young age, it just really does some bad things. But anyway, so this young man was coming to us, and I mean, he'd go on fast, break this and whatever. And this is back in the day when, like, we were just starting in deliverance, so we really didn't know anything about really how to get people free. We were just kind of trying to learn. And so we would pray with him, and we would break things where we had some of our lists and stuff, so we knew some of the stuff. But one day he came over to our house, and he said, "There is this image of this one woman, and I cannot get her out of my mind. She's there all the time." And he described her to us. And as we sat there, the Lord said, "That's a demon. Cast it out." So we commanded the demon, which was the imaging of what he had looked at. Because, see, those are, people don't realize that when you look at pornography, you open the door to spirits accessing your life. You gave them permission. You gave them permission, all right? Now, don't walk out of here being condemned. Walk out of here doing something about it to get rid of them, okay? But, so, anyway, that door had been opened, so here this thing is, and he isn't getting rid of it. So when the Lord said it was a demon, we cast it out of him, and he never saw it again. Now, we've used this over and over and over with people who are dealing with pornographic images, some of them that they might have looked at 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I was, why are they still there? Because it's a spiritual force. So we've told them, cast them out. When you see it, there's your clue. Okay? Just say, in the name of Jesus, no, I don't want you. You get out in the name of Jesus. Send them to the abyss. Someday I'm going to do a teaching on why you can send them to the abyss, all right? And it is scriptural. I didn't do it for years because I didn't see the scriptural, but then the Lord showed me scriptures that back that up. Send them there. Seal them there. Don't let them return. Tell them you're not returning to me in the name of Jesus. But then now if we bring it into this area here, if you're still going back imaging things from your past, like maybe your parents, and that keeps, it's like a rollover all the time. Take authority over that and cast it out. You can take authority over that. Like if you keep seeing a violation, if you keep seeing or hearing a verbal abuse, you know, words that were spoken over you that you were always stupid, or there was something wrong with you, then just take authority over the spiritual force that's behind that and cast it out. Now, the one thing about the enemy that he'll do with you sometimes is that the devil's going to want to see just how much you believe that. So he might test you 2 or 3 times. Just do it. And when he finds out you're not backing down, he'll back down. It works every time, guarantee it. Because why? Because you have the authority. He doesn't. He's been stripped of his authority. And then Jesus turned around, put the authority in the church. So we have it. But what do you do with that authority? You cannot go out and start cleaning out the heavenlies, dealing with demons over this city and this nation, till you first deal with your own. Deal with your own first. Okay, all right, a person who keeps records of wrong. Do you always keep records of wrong? Do you want to get even or pay back? When you think of a certain person, do you always resent them or get angry? Do you hate anybody? Have you ever committed murder? And like I said, even with your tongue. Do you blame God for evil in your life? God did not mess up. You did, or somebody in your generations did. Whoever raised you may have messed up. But like I said before, who raised them? So the mess-ups keep going until some of us decide to do something different. Okay, so you can't blame your parents. You make yourself better out of it. You look at maybe where your parents missed it, and that right there would be a good place for you to say, I'm not doing that. Okay, so if you're bitter towards God, you know, we pray for people all the time who have bitter roots and unforgiveness towards God. That amazes me. It just does. I can't imagine being angry at God. I can't imagine being bitter with God, but people are. So you have to deal with it, okay? But God doesn't mess up. So if he doesn't mess up, then guess who probably did? Okay? So you need to, that's like somebody coming and saying, well, the Lord took my child. No, 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 no. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, so that tells you who really took the child, right? But it's the same way in everything. The bad things that happened in your life was not abundant life. So God didn't do it to you. And isn't God in control of everything that happens on this earth? Is he in control of you? Do you allow yourself to do what God tells you to do? Or do you do your own thing sometimes? You say, so who really is in charge? God is as in charge as you will let him be in charge in your life. Okay? You have to constantly submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so say you're not submitting it, and then something goes wrong and you get angry at God. You see? See, that would be along with 2 Corinthians 10. Lofty things, imaginations that endeavor to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in your life. Okay, so those things would try to blame God and make him look like the bad one. So you have to bring those thoughts into captivity. You need, again, to learn to recognize. That's why it's so important that you come and get some teaching, because when he's exposed, the enemy and his tactics and his schemes, you see, then we recognize this isn't mine and I don't have to own it. I can come out of this place, okay? Schizophrenia comes out of bitterness. Satan does not want you to be a stable person. With bitterness comes the spirits of, and I've just said this, resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. This is a good one. And I would write this one down. It says, strive to live in peace with everybody. Pursue holiness with which no one will ever see the Lord. With one another, to see that no one falls back and fails to secure the grace of God, that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, and many become defiled and contaminated by that. Now, that's the Amplified version. So Hebrews 12, 14, and 15 here says that the root of resentment in your life, rancor or bitterness or hatred, will cause many to become contaminated and defiled, okay? So again, that can go into a church. It can go into who you're listening to. It can go into the fact of your children's lives. If you're letting that, we can contaminate other people by what we say and what we do, okay? The root of bitterness becomes a deep root when not dealt with. Bitterness begins with unforgiveness because you've been hurt. Satan wants to set up kingdoms within a person. Now, this is important. Satan wants to set up kingdoms, plural, within a person so that he can have more control. So when we go to do deliverance with a person, we're not just casting out demons. We're destroying kingdoms that have been set up within a person's life. Now, they could be Satan. Well, let me finish reading this, and I'll tell you what they are. Satan operates in kingdom principles. He's a counterfeit. Always remember he's a counterfeit. He always endeavors to build a kingdom, just like God is in you, okay? God is endeavoring to establish the kingdom of God in you. He's endeavoring to establish righteousness on the inside of you. That is why every time you get in the Word, you're speaking the Word, you're obeying the Word, you're helping God lay the bricks, okay? You're getting a good, sound foundation on the inside of you, all right? But Satan endeavors to build kingdoms like a kingdom of rejection, a kingdom of rebellion, a kingdom of bitterness, a kingdom of lust. All of these kingdoms have various demons working within them, and their networking is for your demise, okay? So therefore, it's like if a person deals with a lot of rejection, there would be, what would be some of the kingdom personalities in there that work to build this? Insecurity, fear of man, inadequacy, fear of failure, feeling like so-and-so doesn't like me. How many of you think I don't like you? Please don't raise your hands. I shouldn't have said it that way. But people think I don't like them. I love people. I love people. In fact, I probably love people more now than ever I've ever done. It's because there's getting less of me and more of him, and which I believe has come from the deliverance. You see, when you begin to deal with this, God comes in and he begins to set up his structure. And I'm a lot nicer than I used to be. I am. Ask Lou. You could ask Evelyn, too. They've known me for a long time. Of course, Evelyn always, Lou thinks I'm wonderful, too. But anyway, right, Lou? Amen. He doesn't dare say anything else. So anyway, that way we'll find if there's still any kingdoms there, right? Built up that we haven't destroyed. But these kingdoms, in other words, have various demons that work within them that network for your demise. Like maybe you get married and, you know, you might, ladies, think you have the most wonderful husband ever, and all of a sudden he loses his temper. And it's like, oh my goodness. See what I'm saying? The kingdom that was structured probably from a child up there is attacking you. Or you husbands could get this wonderful wife, and all of a sudden, you know, you can't leave this sock out of place, you can't wipe off this stand, this dresser, you know, they don't like this about you. You see? So you see those kingdoms structured within your lives. So we need to let them get tore down so they don't break up our marriages. You know, if you got a lot of contention and a lot of strife going on in your marriage, you got kingdoms operating in the marriage that could get tore down if you'll work on it. You see? You know, we used to have to do that. And one of the biggest things that we learned to do was when we finally decided we were going to stop fighting, we were going to stop having strife, and we just made a decision one day. This is done, because we used to fight a lot. And we began to see it affect our children. Remember how I told you what you do is going to affect your family? So what we decided when we stopped it was that then when you say something that's not nice, you quickly stop and say, you know what? I didn't need to say that. Please forgive me. And it will literally neutralize everything. You see, that's your choice also. So you might miss it. You know, if you got a big mouth, you got a big mouth, and you got to work on that, right? So you can decide, okay, I'm not doing this, but, you know, then you do it anyway. Be quick to repent. And sometimes when you start, you might have to repent 50 times in a day. But you keep repenting. That's like if you have a lying problem. You know, I used to, well, I guess I could say lying maybe came up in my family. It wasn't one of the strongest spirits, but it was there. So one time I had this pastor's, well, I had him two times. I had a lady that, actually the girl that led me to the Lord, she gave me some corn on the cob, and I didn't get it fixed. And so finally it spoiled, so I threw it out. So she come back, she goes, well, how did you like the corn? I said, oh, it was good. It was good. It was really good. And then, oh, did I get it from God later? So she didn't drop it the next week. She goes, oh, I'm so glad you like that corn. And she goes on and on. So finally I had to tell her. I threw it away. I let it stay. I didn't do anything. But, you know, that should stop you from lying. Then I had another pastor's wife who, she used to say, we'd pray with her, and she'd always say, did you put on the armor of God today? And I always just think, well, I didn't take it off. But she'd insist I'd put it on every day. And it would irritate me. And no, I didn't put it on, but I don't want you to know. So I'd say, yeah, I did. And that went on for a little while. And then I had to go to her and tell her, because I couldn't be me in the Lord and operate in a lying spirit. So then I had to go to her, which is more embarrassing than if I'd have just said, no, I didn't. And tell her that not only did I not do it, but I was a liar on top of it. You know? That will stop you from lying. You know? Because God doesn't let me get by with it. And so I always get caught. I always have to go confess. You know? But these things, literally, when you will deal with them, if you have strife in your house, then quickly get it remedied as soon as it happens. And you will begin to find that all of a sudden it goes. All of a sudden, what programmed you one way before, you're being reprogrammed by the Spirit of God. You're being reprogrammed by the Word of God that tells us to love and be tenderhearted and kind one towards another. You see? But so we can begin to, a lot of times, just tear the kingdoms that the enemy has endeavored to build in us by refusing to keep adding the wood and the stubble to it, which is really what his is built out of. You know? So, anyway, that was free too. I bet you never thought I'd ever lie after I became a Christian. But oh, well, how many of you have ever lied since you became a Christian? That didn't put your hands up for it. We have probably all done it. Okay. When we tolerate sin on the inside of us, we begin to aid the enemy in building a kingdom of bitterness. We have to recognize on forgiveness, or that forgiveness is a command from God. It's not an option. If things are not going well for you, like your finances or health or other areas of your life, then there may be a root that you could deal with. And it could be a generational root too, okay? I just got done, we prayed with somebody. This is so cool. They have a Hispanic background. And in talking here about dealing with roots, a lot of times there's roots that we might have things operating in our family, and we're like, oh, God, what else do I cast out? You know, what else? You know, if you've been around deliverance for a while, sometimes you say that, like, God, what else? You know? And this person came to our house, and they started sharing some things with us. And most Hispanics have, especially if you're from Mexico, have backgrounds, Indian background, okay? A lot of Americans, just regular here too, have Indian background. And when we were praying with this person, one of the things, well, we were praying with this person, and now the reason I'm telling you this is that if you're still dealing with some things, don't beat yourself up, and don't always think that you're just hopeless, because you're not. You know, God can show you some things. So anyway, we're praying with them. And I'm just going to tell you this, too, because I think this is cool. This guy had tattoos all over. And he had a Indian chief, the big head feathers, and then the face of that Indian chief. And he'd gone through some deliverance a couple years ago, and literally, when that was prayed over, that tattoo has disappeared. Literally, he showed it to us. You could just see a slight few lines of the dark blue stuff. The entire face of that was gone. And I really believe I know which one it was. Montezuma? Montezuma. Because as we were praying, my husband said, you know what, I keep getting this Montezuma. I didn't know Montezuma was from Mexico. Aztec. You know? And so, I mean, that was amazing that, my goodness, when that was broken. But the thing that was interesting in this is that as we were going through some stuff to pray for freedom in his life, and I was really excited because I thought, aha, I got some real stuff here for the Hispanic culture that I'm studying now, and we're going to go after that. But so if you're Hispanic, hallelujah, God just revealed some stuff. You know, God does not want us bound. But when witchcraft, which is one of the strongest spirits that come up through a bloodline, and witchcraft is designed to, it's an antichrist spirit, but it's totally designed to take you away from the Lord or keep people from God. But anyway, when we were praying with that and God showed us that, we looked up some stuff later on Mexico and Aztec Indians. But one of the things that's prevalent with Montezuma, which really would be prevalent with all Indians, because it just is a spirit of revenge. And they said in this one book I was reading that because of them cursing the white people and with the spirit of revenge, so many Indians have intermarried white people. So all those curses are operating in their families. And, you know, sometimes he's part Indian, by the way. My husband is. We think that was so cool till we found out all these curses that come with the Indians. So we have to clean that out. But the interesting thing was this, that sometimes it's like, all right, Lord, why is this here and why is this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? But in that revelation that God gave us for this person, we actually got some revelation for ourselves to pray into our own family more, you know? Because all you got to do is take Lou and I and look at my bloodline and look at his bloodline. And you can see certain behaviors operating. You see what I'm saying? So that's a key. I could look at nephews and nieces on that, his side, and I see some of the same behaviors I've seen in my own children. And it's like, oh, revenge. Do you think the enemy likes any of us? You see, so if there's some things, you know, but how do you do that then? Oh my goodness, do you know the power of your words? Do you know the power of binding the enemy? He said, I'll give you the keys. You've got the keys. We've got the authority. And you can begin to start rooting these things. If there's things operating, I don't care what area, if it's bitterness, that's what we're talking about. But what about sexual immorality? What about drug abuse? What about alcohol abuse? What about all these different things? There's reasons behind a lot of them that you, if you've gone through deliverance and you're uprooting that, but you still see some of these things operating, they probably very well could be in your generations. You see, so as we were praying, you know, that spirit of revenge, I'm sure, operates with anybody that's got any kind of Indian background, Indian mixture within them, you see? So there's things that are pertinent to cultures, and those things that are pertinent to cultures, you need to look at why they're there. And then if you see certain things operating, Jesus has given you authority to take those kingdoms and literally tear them down and dispose them and get them out of your life. You know, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. And I've talked to you about the kingdoms. So if there's certain areas, even, and some of you are live, you are new people here, but even if you've been through a lot of deliverances, you still see some things sometimes. There's your clue. You may have, you know, some kingdoms that you've not recognized yet, that you've not taken out. You know, I'm sorry if you think I've arrived. I haven't. I have not arrived yet. Still working on it. Yeah. Sometimes I get so busy with other people, I forget to work on my own. You know, but you can't do that. You know, we need to always be working from our own perspective also. But see, you go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and I'm sure a whole lot better than I used to be. And we sure move forward in the kingdom of God compared to what we used to be. And I'll tell you what, none of it changed for us until we began to enter into this arena of deliverance. That's where, you know, we would go to churches, and I've always believed the Word of God. When I was a little girl, I believed God wanted us healed, and I wasn't raised in a church, but I used to watch Oral Roberts on TV sometimes. And then I'd get in trouble with my dad because he didn't like him, but I would watch him, and that was enough seed in me to believe for healing. But I lost my train of thought with that. Anyway, those things, the seed of the Word of God comes in, and you begin to see the various things that the enemy has set into your life. Once you begin to deal with them, and you've released greater and greater forces of righteousness. See, righteousness can increase. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, period. You can't get any better, but the operation of it in your life can increase. You see? So when we begin to remove these things, I know what I was going to say, we would believe these things, but never see the reality of them. And it's like, well, why doesn't this work? Because I know it's here, God. And it wasn't until we began to remove some of the hindrances, which are spiritual beings that are sent to hinder you from receiving what God has for you. See, so if you can't get a hold of something that God has for you, it could be two things. It could be your mouth. You know, that's huge. It's time we learn to start saying what God says. Amen. Quit saying negative stuff. That's why I say, if you got all this negative stuff, quit listening to it, cast it out, and start saying some right things. That is so huge. In Mark 11:23, Jesus only tells us to believe one time. And three times he tells us to say. So it's going to take three times you saying what you believe. You know. Anyway, you've got to be saying what you got to, you know, even if you don't exactly quote a scripture, just quote the principle of it. Speak good things into your life, not negative things into your life. You see? So it could be that, and it could be a spiritual force. Because words are life, by the way, folks. The Bible says, Jesus said, my words are spirit, spirit, spirit. That means spirit is behind his words. His word doesn't go void. It's alive. You know, I think that's amazing. The Word of God is more alive than I am standing here right now. And I'm alive. I'm a living being. But the Word of God is a living, functioning thing, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that Word can bring about life into your life. That's what Jesus said. I am spirit, and my words are spirit and their life. But the enemy's words are also spirit, and they're death. They're death. So listen to what you're saying, okay? See, if you even come for deliverance and all you're talking about are your demons, you know, but I thought we cast it out, and you're still giving that devil glory. Stop it. Start declaring who you are in Christ. You know, when I got delivered from rejection, I got delivered from rejection. Now, he's knocked at my door a few times, but I don't take him back. Say, I don't give him that place. I don't, you know, well, I'm just insecure. I'm not insecure. I'm not inadequate. I don't have fear of failure. You wouldn't want to meet me in the spirit realm. If you were a devil, that is. Now, if you were human in the spirit realm, I could probably help you. You know, that's what I'm saying. But anyway. See, so if there's things going on, know this, that it's probably a spiritual force that you can have the authority to break. You have that authority. And not only that, I'm not going to teach on that. I'm running out of time. I'm not going to teach on this. I know John's going to probably think, well, you said that last year or 2 years ago. I was going to teach on angels, but I never did. And he kept waiting for me to teach on angels, and I never did. So I'm studying them again, John. And I'm getting more revelation on what angels are in the kingdom of God to accomplish the will of God in our lives. And it's huge. And we don't work with but you know, angels hearken to the voice of God's word. They don't hearken to death. They don't hearken to your negative speaking. They hearken to the word of God. All right? So that, again, is why we need to deal with things correctly. But angels are here just like, okay, Evelyn, when Evelyn and I pray, I know, when Evelyn and I pray, I mean, I'll tell you what, her and I, you get us together in agreement on something, and it's not even a question, it's done. It's done. It's done. We've had some huge things that, you know. But in that same realm, just like her and I are partners, or Lou and I are partners, we do the same thing. Together in the kingdom to do what? To bring about his will. So are angels. And we ignore our angels. We ignore the fact that God has given us angels to work with us to bring about God's business on this earth. And do you know God's business is your freedom? He wants you free. He wants your families restored. He wants you out of debt. He wants you healthy and whole and sound. Yeah. You know? So do angels help do surgery? Well, yeah. Yeah, they do. God gives the command. Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit brings us to it. We give the command and the angels perform it. The way it works. We are the authority, they're the strength to go out and remove things. Every time we do deliverance, there are angels. In fact, this room, if we could pull back the veil, you'd see it full of angels waiting for me to give a command for those things to go. When I give the command and you let it go, they are immediately removed because we've already done that. I mean, we've already told them where they're going to go. So the angels are the strength to enforce the word of authority coming out of my mouth. That's why when people come and, you know, first time I ever tried to cast a demon out of somebody, I heard a voice say to me, "You don't know what you're doing." And I thought, I don't. You know? So I quit. Now, this is my first year of Christianity. But now you couldn't come. And that was the spirit that said that to me. And I listened and I thought, yeah, okay, I'll just stop because I really don't. That came to me and told me now, it's like, nope, sorry. It's not an option because I understand the spirit realm in that area. I don't understand everything, but what I've dealt with, I do, you see. So God is about your freedom. He's about you dealing with whatever you need to deal with. You are the only hindrance, by the way, to God. You. Whatever I want to hold on to, whatever I refuse to release, wherever I stay in a place of captivity, that's my choice. Now, I don't care what my dad did. He was a very mean person. I had to walk through a lot of things to get out from under that. But he was that way because his father was even worse than he was as a dad. You see? So do I wallow in that? Do I use that as my right to stay a mess? Do I use that as my right to never move forward and learn how to take out the kingdom of God or move forward and do some things for the kingdom of God. See, that's your choice. You can feel sorry for yourself, or you can say, no, God, I'm not going to carry this anymore. And I also feel that there's a specific word for someone in a marriage here. You've had an unfaithful spouse, and you still wallow in that. You, God is saying, forgive him and come out of that. You come out of that place where you're held. You don't have to stay there anymore. God says you're free. You're free. And even put a smile on your face. The devil hates it when you smile. He hates it. If you don't feel it, just go around and smile. Hallelujah, I'm free. No more shackles, no more chains from now on. Oh, I love that song. You know? Okay, I guess I'm done. I'm done. I was going to pray today, but I'm not because I'm not done with the lesson. So maybe next week. I'm also going to do the spirit of fear. And we are also going to do a huge corporate deliverance at the end where we're going to bring the music back in. We're going to go into some strategic places. We're going to break down some things. Last time we did it, it was like, wow, it was huge. We're going to do that at the end of this one. So you need to get people in here. Because everybody needs to be free. Everybody needs to be free. Okay? But next week I will probably lead you in some prayers to do some deliverance, corporate deliverance. I love corporate deliverance. But let me lead you in this. Okay, last week I told you to write down some names. Did anybody write down names? All right, you all get zero. One person, two, okay. All right, class. All right, I'm going to lead you through one prayer, and you can mentally write it down, a person or persons that you may need to do, okay? But I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, close your eyes, because I want this between you and God. Lord, I thank you that you have forgiven me. So today, Lord, by a choice of my will, I choose to release those who have hurt me, those who have wounded me, those who have betrayed me. In the name of Jesus, I release each and every one of these into the freedom of my forgiveness. Now I want you to say what you're forgiving them for, just quietly to yourself. Okay, now say, I release you. And today, I release myself from the hurt, from the betrayal, from the incident, from the woundedness, from the anger, from the abuse. I release myself into the freedom of my forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath and just release yourself. Some of you need to release yourself too, where you're holding unforgiveness towards yourself, where you felt like you've missed it as a parent. Let it go. Let it go. Jesus took it all. You don't have to carry that. Let it go. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, by a choice of my will, Lord, I choose to forgive myself for the things that I know you have already forgiven me for, in Jesus' name. Okay, now I just speak to any false responsibility, any guilt, and I command that to go in the name of Jesus off of every person. I command a spirit of bondage, a spirit of hatred towards self, unforgiveness towards self. I break that off of you. Now you release it as I'm praying this. In the name of Jesus, all of that guilt, all that condemnation, all that worry and fear that you have over your child because of your mistakes, release that worry, release that fear in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all that condemnation that you didn't do good enough or you didn't train them up enough, I command right now all of that broken off of you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, just take a deep breath and release it. Spirit is breath. Those things have to go when you tell them to go.